सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Dilshan chapter 2 verses 46 to 50. Page 118. Yava nartagudapani, sarvata samplutodake, tavam sarveshu vedeshu, Brahmanasya vijanatah, yava nartavudapani, sarvata samplutodake, tavam sarveshu vedeshu, Brahmanasya vijanatah, karman yevadikaraste, Maa phaleshu kadachana, Maa karma phala heturboho, Maa te sangostva karmani, karman yevadikaraste, Maa phaleshu kadachana, Maa karma phala heturboho, Maa te sangostva karmani, Yogastha kuru karmani, Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya, Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva, Samatvam yoga uchyate, Yogastha kuru karmani, Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya, Siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva, samatvam yoga uchyate, dure nahyavaram karma, buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddhau sharanam anvichya, kripanafala hetavaha, dure nahyavaram karma, Buddhi yoga dhananjaya, buddhau sharanam anvichya, kripana phala hetavaha, buddhi yukto jahatiha, ube sukrita duskrute, tasmad yogaya yujyasva, yoga karma sukaushalam, Buddhi yukto jahatiha, ube sukrita duskrute, tasmad yogaya yujyasva, yoga karma sukaushalam.
This 45
stanza
tak
to kiya
hai.
Yeah.
Ye to
46 hi hai. Yeah, last week I did 46 and 47.
Oh, you did.
But few people are not there, so I'll read it little bit. Because these are important verses, especially 47. See, he said, even though I've given you the knowledge, I'm now going to give you Buddhi Yoga, which in the context is Karma Yoga. We've explained that before. What does it mean? It means, you now develop a clarity in life. First, you don't really understand what you are searching for. So without knowing, without clarity, mind goes here and there. It goes into wealth, it goes into, joys and entertainments, it goes into intellectual delights. But over a period of time, when a person slowly matures, he develops a clarity that what I am actually searching for is happiness. And that happiness doesn't exist outside, it is within me. Once you develop that clarity, so your direction is set. It is not without, it is within. The direction within is set. That is the clarity. That is Buddhi Yoga. So Karma Yoga is functioning with clarity, functioning with awareness, functioning with your intellect, Buddhi. So once you have developed the Buddhi, rightly resolved, your desires and everything is directed towards the goal within. So that mind starts behaving. It doesn't run helter-skelter. Once a person is firmly established a goal for himself, then the mind knows this is the direction in which I have to go. Still, the mind may go here and there in between, but with conscious intellect, you bring it back. So with that resolved mind, you achieve the material success. At the same time, you are detached with your pursuit, whereby you dissolve the impressions and go to the spiritual goal as well. So therefore, if you see, having spoken about the importance of Karma Yoga in 39, 40, 41, in 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 42, 44, 45, sorry, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 5 verses he spends before he actually starts talking about Karma Yoga in condemning the karma, not the Vedas. Why he uses the word Vedas there, he says, Yamima Pushpitam Vacham, means those people who get caught in the flowery speech of Vedas. He speaks about all that. And in 45 he said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Vedas are only Traigunya Vishaya. Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, become beyond gunas, above gunas. So what he is trying to say there is, Vedas, which are called as Shruti, are only talking about fulfilling your desires in this world and hereafter. Fulfilling your desires here and fulfilling your desire to go to heaven. So what rituals, how to do, what desire will get fulfilled through them. This is what the Vedas are talking about. So if you are only involved in fulfilling each and every desire through performance of rituals, in the present context, we are doing the same thing. We may not be doing ritual to fulfill the desire, but jo bhi karna chahiye wo desire fulfill karne ke liye, that's what we are doing. From morning till night, each one is pursuing their desires. Having tried here, they think, oh, it's in that desire. Then they try to fulfill that desire, another desire, another desire. You plan, this year I'll go for vacation to this country. Because I'm told, for example, Switzerland is a beautiful country. Having gone to Switzerland and come back, what has happened? Has the desire got fulfilled? No. We had very little time, so we couldn't go to Austria. Austria is also supposed to be a beautiful place. So next year, Austria. Then, no, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic, especially Prague is supposed to be beautiful. We should go to Prague. Like that. What are we doing? We are only chasing desires. So he is saying, Vedas are only Traigunya Vishaya. Okay? You are only fulfilling your desires. By fulfilling your desires, what you get is finite enjoyment, and that too for a finite period of time. If at all you get any enjoyment, that enjoyment is finite, and that too for a finite period of time. So therefore, don't get stuck with Vedas. You must go beyond Vedas. So here he says in 46, Yavanartha Udapane Sarvata Samplutodake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanataha. To an enlightened Brahmana, this is very important. to an enlightened Brahmana, because there are varieties of Brahmanas. For example, you can say three types of Brahmanas. One Brahmana who is called as Brahmana in this world because he is born in a Brahmin family. Brahmin by birth. Another Brahmana is Brahmin by Guna. He may or may not be born in a Brahmin family, but is a Brahmin by Guna. For example, Prahlada. There is another kind of Brahmana which Krishna is talking about here. Enlightened Brahmana. Truly speaking, he is a real Brahmana. Brahmana who has reached Brahman, who has internalized the knowledge, who has experienced the highest, who has touched their consciousness within. So he is an enlightened Brahmana who has internalized the knowledge. All the Vedas are of as much use as a pond is where there is a flood of water everywhere. When there is flood, the village is flooded, nobody is going to go and look for pond there. In fact, the pond itself is submerged in the flood. And the purpose for which everybody goes to the pond is very much served by the flood. And in fact, much more purpose. Plenty of water. So what he is saying here is by going to the Vedas and adhering to the Vedic rituals, you fulfill petty desires and for a short period of time you will be happy. But you should go beyond Vedas. That is Vedant.
Vedant.
Yeah. Jahan Ved ant hota hai, wahan Vedant shuru hota hai. You understand? Vedas talk about rituals. There are four parts to every Veda. The mantra bhaga are full of hymns elogizing the nature. Then the Brahmana bhaga, which is full of methods of performing various rituals to satisfy various desires. And there is Aranyaka bhaga. Aranyaka bhaga talks about meaning of the rituals and it also talks about subjective worship. Then comes the last portion called the Upanishads. Upanishads contain the philosophy of life and living. Upanishads are the declarations of truth by masters who realize the self, who got enlightened. So Upanishads are nothing but the enlightened master's words. So one should use the Vedas, perform the rituals. In modern day context, what that would mean is daily obligatory duties. Nitya karma, naimitika karma. A Brahmana is supposed to do certain rituals. A Grahastha is supposed to do certain rituals. Similarly, in modern day context, you have certain obligatory duties. Nitya karma means daily routine obligatory duties, and naimitika karma means special obligatory duties. So you do your duties, but understand, you are not looking for the immediate result, because that is not what is going to give you that satisfaction really. What you are looking for is deep, and that is Atma. Therefore, since you have these desires, and by keeping quiet the desires are not going to go away, you give a direction to it, use the Vedas, perform the rituals, do your duties, but I am very clear, this immediate result that comes out of the ritual is not my goal. My goal is to get to the Atma. I never forget the goal in mind. So these are all temporary goals, if at all I have. My real goal is knowing myself. Like the masters say, know thyself. Until and unless I know myself, if somebody has forgotten himself, his real nature, and he imagines himself to be something else, what would you call that fellow? Ami forgets that she is Ami. And she thinks she is President Pramila Patil, Pratibha Patil. Huh? What would you call a meek? What would you call her?
Mental.
Exactly. Right? Same thing. If sadhana forgets and she calls herself something else. So, when you do not know who you are, what are you? Any one of us. When we do not know our real nature, we are lunatics. Strictly speaking. The problem is, every one of us are lunatics. When it becomes unmanageable, some of the lunatics get together and the unmanageable lunatics are given a separate place called asylum. That's about it. All of us are lunatics. As long as we do not know who we are. And a person who doesn't know who he is, and a person who is soaked in such ignorance, what best good things he can do to others? You tell me. When you have not found the happiness, when you yourself are not in that happiness mode, what happiness can you give to anybody else? Whether it is your husband or wife or children or anybody else. So therefore the Upanishads declare, the first and foremost thing, rather the one and only thing that is required, is to know thyself. And once you are firmly resolved, knowing thyself is only my goal, nothing else. Vaham pahunchna, ye karna, o karna. That is all incidental. Through them, I am only interested in knowing thyself. Ye sara tamasha. That is Karma Yogi. Because he is not a research scholar who can sit and only read and reflect and research. He has lots of desires. There is a lot of roughness in him. The roughness has to go. And then he can become a research scholar, a jnani. Then he can do full-time jnana yoga. But now you can't. So therefore he says, for an enlightened brahmana, all the Vedas are of no use, just as pond is of no use for flood. What happiness you get in the Vedas, through the Vedas, you get infinite times more in the self-realization. And so therefore, once a person is enlightened, all these petty joys add infinitum is achieved. There's no comparison. Therefore, he is saying, please understand, Vedas were given out by the people who have darshan of truth. They had personal experience. It was not somebody else's experience that they were reporting there. They were speaking their own experience. When their experience is spoken, it is spoken through the mouth and the mind, right? From the mind and comes to the mouth, and then it is being given out. Therefore, it has come through the mind, which has three gunas. How can infinite be expressed through finite equipments? So there will always be problems. What you need to understand is, they have given you these Vedas for purification of your mind. Having purified your mind, then you have to get into deeper inquiry. And deeper inquiry ke liye, Upanishads can be a medium. Bible can be a medium. Quran can be a medium. Bhagavad Gita can be a medium. All these can only be a medium. They will give you perception. You will hear, not see. Until you see, you use them. But your focus is in experiencing it yourself. Shruti means heard. Right? Vedas are called Shruti. Masters gave it, students heard it. But the student should go beyond Veda and become a Veda din. Means what? Have darshan of the truth. Jab tak he has not got the darshan of truth, he has to continue. He has to attain that goal.
Vedanti.
Vedantin or Vedanti, whatever. Simply because somebody has read and is able to quote and is able to interpret, doesn't mean he become a Vedanta. So therefore Vedanta always emphasizes on personal experience or internalizing. Merely quoting somebody, of what use is it? What is the use of quoting? पर्सनलाइज करो, इंटरनलाइज करो, अंदर से एक्सपीरियंस करो. दैट इज व्हाई स्वामी रामतीर्थ सेज, डोंट बी अ स्लेव टू बुद्धा और महावीर और कृष्णा or Christ, or anybody for that matter, Zoroaster, whoever it might be. Don't be a slave. Whatever you listen, hear, reflect over it, experience it. And that's what a Vedantin is supposed to do. Like science. Science may, you don't accept things blindly. What do? You receive the material, you think about it, you experiment it in the lab, then you come to the conclusion. So Vedantin means what? Experimental scientist. He's not just a theologist who goes to theories. Of course theories are helpful, but you need to use them and go beyond and not stop until you become that. And that's the meaning of this whole, that's why he's giving this. Karmas, a lot of people are involved in. Maximum what the karmas will give you? Immediate enjoyments or heaven? And what is heaven? Heaven is a destination where you go for a while and then come back. It's like checking into a hotel. You check into a hotel for a few days and then you check out. Everything is given to you. You are in, let's say, in such joy. But then you are again sent back. Once you are sent back, it's terrible, isn't it? Like, for example, if you have all along been in a non-AC compartment, non-AC car, non-AC, everything non-AC, then the heat outside doesn't bother you that much. But if you have been in air conditioner, suddenly the power goes, and for a few hours when you are in that heat, it's torture. So for a person who has gone to heaven and comes back, that soul suffers a lot more. You understand? Always the contrast is the problem. Contrast is a very big problem. So therefore, he says to an enlightened Brahmana, all the Vedas are of as much use as a pond is where there is a flood of water. Ocean has water everywhere. And the ocean's water is what comes into your well also. The water that you have in your well is also belonging to the ocean only. Please understand that. It's come through the earth, that's all. When you go closer and closer to the ocean, the water is more salty. A little far off, sedimentation and all that, you know, water is much more tasty. The water gets evaporated, pours down. It's all one same water body only. There's only one water body. Just because you find it in another place, it doesn't belong to something else. Our mind has split them into different things. Everything is just water body. So your ancestors, if you've been living in your ancestral house, there's a well there. Ever since you are born. Ever since you are born, there is a well. Very deep well. Your ancestors dug the well and they brought the water to the surface from the ground. From deep inside the ground. Isn't it? So when you see the well, what are you supposed to be reminded of? This well and ocean analogy talks about few things. What are they? Well water should make me understand there is water in ocean which is much beyond, much larger compared to the water I get in the well. And secondly, it is available everywhere right under me. I have to dig it. I have to dig it out. A, it's not dumping yourself with information. I read one, oh Swamiji, I want to read this book, that book, people say, you know. Even I have heard this myself, when people speak to Swamiji, I have heard it. These people come and say, Swamiji, when are you going to finish Bhagavad Gita? Because we're waiting to listen to you speak on Upanishads. Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the sar of Upanishads. If you really understood Bhagavad Gita, there's no need to listen to Upanishads. I'm not saying you should not listen to Upanishads. The point is, well is dug by your ancestors. You see the water. You must understand that this water belongs to the ocean. This is nothing. Similarly, when I experience joy, this joy is only a drop of the joy which is within me. The ocean of joy, that is in self-realization. That is in enlightenment. And to get there, what am I supposed to do? Dig myself, my personality. Go beyond the body. Go beyond the prana. Go beyond the mind. Go beyond the intellect. Go beyond the vasanas. Then get there. So Vedanta is to go within, not dump yourself with informations. Oh, we have studied Rig Veda, now we have to study Yajur Veda. Then we have to study Sama Veda. Then we have to study Atharvana Veda. So that I can be called as Chaturvedi. You can know all the four Vedas and yet remain ignorant. It is going deep into you. It's not creating a mountain out of you. It is creating a valley out of you. Education should make you a valley, not a mountain, egoistic person. Any education that makes you egoistic is not true education. If a person goes through right education, his hands would be engaged in the service of all beings. His heart will have vibrations with love for the entire beings, entire universe. And his head will be having the identity with the consciousness within. That is true education. Hands would not be extended to grab. Hands would only extend to give. Heart would not be shrunk. It would have expanded. It would accommodate everybody. Head is not involved in the discrimination of what I can get from this world, worthy. It is very clear that the only thing that is worthy is Atma. So therefore he says, for an enlightened Brahmana, Vedas are of no use. So don't get stuck by Vedas. Make the Vedas your stepping board, not a stumbling block. He's not criticizing Vedas, but he's making us understand the role Vedanta plays in our life. Vedas and Vedanta plays in our life. So remember, Upanishads are words of the masters that has come from their experience. Until and unless you have not experienced it, it is borrowed knowledge. Borrowed knowledge mein koi fayda nahi. What is the feeling when you wear somebody else's jewelry on a wedding day and wearing your own jewelry? You're all the time worried, na, that you could be exposed. If somebody comes to know that it is borrowed. Huh? Even at the grass level, you feel so bad when you are on the borrowed stage. It's not coming from inside. It's coming from somebody else. That's not strength. Strength should come from within. You're not thereafter bothered about somebody else's acceptance. It's coming from deep inside. That's strength. That is why Madhusudana Saraswati, if you remember when we did that Dhyana Shlokas, when we started Gita, we did the 9 verses, you remember? In the 8th verse he says, Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham vande Paramanandamadavam. It makes a mute speak eloquently. How? Because he goes deep inside. His strength comes from within. It's not coming from borrowed knowledge. It's not coming from preparedness. It's coming from being. You can prepare a person and he can still fumble. And you are not sure whether he will do it properly or he will fumble. But if it's coming from inside, you understand? It's totally different ballgame altogether. So it's not that you read and you vomit it out. It is being, because like for example, Krishna was not conducting weekly classes. And Krishna did not have his library with him when he went to the battlefield. Oh, Arjuna might ask me something, so let me have reference books. He is living that knowledge, he is digested it. He is speaking from within, his own experience. Vedanta has become darshan to him. It is no more just a shruti. It's not just a hearsay knowledge to him. It is his personal experience.
Karman yevadikaraste, karman yevadikaraste, mafaleshu kadhachana, mafaleshu kadhachana, ma karma falahe turboho, ma karma falahe turboho, mate sangostva karmani, mate sangostva karmani, karman yevadikaraste, mafaleshu kadhachana, ma karma falahe turboho, Mahate sangostva karmani.
Very famous off-quoted verse. In fact, he starts talking about karma yoga from now. Till now, he was only talking about the importance of karma yoga in 39, 40, 41. In 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, he was coming down heavily on getting involved in Vedas, getting involved in the karma kanda, getting involved in the ritualistic portion. And now, he says, it's not karma, but karma yoga. And what is karma yoga? So from now, he is going to talk about what is karma yoga. So he says, karmani eva adhikara. It's a very famous off-quoted verse. Everybody knows this verse in India, mostly. So karmani eva adhikara. You have right, choice, adhikara, only with reference to action. Eva means alone, only. When you say only after a word, it means you are emphasizing on it, isn't it? Karmani eva. You should read this verse like that. When you read it with that kind of emphasis. Karmani eva adhikara. You have right only to action. Ma faleshu kadachana. Kadasana means at any point in time. At any time. Never ever you have right to the fruits. Phala. So, your right is an action only, never to the fruits. Let not the fruit of action be your motive. Ma karma phala hetur boho. Let not the fruit of action be your motive. Mate sangostva karmani. Let not your attachment be to inaction. Akarma. Inaction. When in the present you have a choice. All any given point of time as a human being you always have a choice. Like right now you have a choice to listen. You have a choice not to listen. Listening has its own consequence, maybe good, maybe bad. Not listening has its own consequence, maybe good, maybe bad. So, at any given point of time, you have a choice. That is accepted. But once having acted, the action, what result it will produce, that is not in your hands. Isn't it? You can plan, program, take care of many things. But what outcome is going to be, you cannot say. That's why in Islam, I have heard this from many Muslim friends, they commonly say, you know, in any conversation, supposing you say, shall we meet tomorrow? They say, Insha'Allah. Insha'Allah. Beautiful. It's a beautiful construction. Islam is a beautiful religion of surrender. So, Insha'Allah. You don't know. We can plan. But it's not in our hands.
I had a dry cleaner who I used to go to give clothes, and I said, "I will go on Tuesday." Zindagi rahi to jo mushkil hai yesterday.
Absolutely, you don't know. So next minute, what will happen? You have no idea. People who boarded the flight, did they knew that they're going to crash it? And they're going to die in 9/11, or anything for the matter, when they checked into the hotel in Taj in 26/11, right? Was it 26/11? Yeah, 26/11. He said 26/11 with reference to the month. They said 9/11, 9 is the month there. It's an American way of putting it.
They always say the month first.
You don't know. A lot of people went for dinner, they didn't come back. People who were admitted in this hospital in Kolkata, MRI. Absolutely no idea.
My mother, she died in my arms literally. There was nothing.
You started off to come to the class that day. Halfway through you got the message. And then you went back. So this is the point. You must recognize that element, that area, which is not in your control. Which is not in your control. And that's what he's saying. So that you surrender. Your mind doesn't go to the future. But mind always goes to the past and future. Everybody's mind.
Forever.
Yeah. Running thoughts of all is mind. It's going this way and that way. This way and that way. So he says, please understand, action is part of a chain. You are throwing a stone in the pond. That has created ripples. The stone might have gone into the pond and then reached the riverbed. The ripple might continue. And there are so many people throwing the stones. The ripple, what kind of modifications it will happen and how long it will continue, you have no idea. You might have started off a revolution and you might not be there to see the end of it. But once you start it, thereafter it's no more your movement. You understand? It's a chain. So, action karne mein aapka adhikar hai. But result comes from the total. You prepare very well, you plan, you program, you prepare everything you do. The day you were supposed to give your exam, you met with an accident. Or, you wrote well, but the fellow who was supposed to correct your paper fought with his wife that day. So, you know, half a mark you scored less, let us say, half a mark. And half a mark matters, especially in the Indian education system. But half a mark matters a lot. Instead of going to a number one university, you may go to number two. And going to number two may not be all that bad. Because you don't know, having gone there, while going you might have been creeping, oh my God, I was supposed to go to number one, I don't know how come I went there. Oh, you know, I did well. You may be creeping. But once you go there, probably you will find that fellow who was teaching in number one got transferred to a city where number two university is, so he was teaching. in the Bangalore University. Then it becomes good. You don't know. Like you might be cursing your driver because of him if you had missed a flight. But if you come to know tomorrow that that flight crashed and nobody survived, then that very same driver you give increment.
It happened to my husband. Normally he drives to court. That day he asked his driver to drive. And he missed that high call bomb by like 2 minutes. He just reached across the road. He said, if I was driving, I would have reached and I would have been there.
Oh.
So, it's destiny, you can't fight this.
So, therefore, you have a right to act. That's in your hands. Jo mera haath mein hai, I should do that. Jo inka haath mein hai, I should leave it. When I go to an airport to take a flight to go to some other city or some other country, I go with some luggage. But airport, having reached the airport, then what do? I check in my baggage. So these baggages, you don't have to carry it on your head and sit on the seat. Oh, as it is, I'm burning the flight by my weight. So why should I keep the luggage? I keep it on my head only. You don't have to. Check in the baggage. That's what he's saying. Karmani eva adhikara. Mahaphaleshu kadachana. Fruit is not in your hands. And jab aap fruit ke baare mein nahi sochenge, sirf kaam karke jayenge, fir what is happening? You are absolutely focused. Your energies are totally directed, one-pointed. You are fully available there, and since you are fully available there, your action has had the full advantage of your personality. You were not split personality there. Your mind was not going here and there. You were available there totally. You were a complete personality when you did the action. And when you do actions as a complete personality, the result also, you must understand, is nothing but action at a different point in time. Action with reference to future is equal to result. Seed with reference to future is the tree. Isn't it? The
action
with reference to future is the result of success or failure, whatever. So action and result are not two different things. It's only separated by time. Isn't it? Ignorant Einstein as a child, an intelligent genius Einstein as an adult, is only separated by time. It's only separated by time. So therefore, in the present moment, be focused. When he says karmani eva adhikara, he is not saying don't plan for the future. When planning for the future becomes the present action, do that. But having planned, while you are acting, don't be letting your mind roam around in future. That is nothing but lack of surrender. So a lot of people get confused here. Oh, is he saying don't plan? Like I said, a mature person understands that knowing thyself is my goal. And I have these samskaras, these impressions, I give directions to them in life, I have to rise above them, therefore I continue acting in that field, I choose my swadharma and act. Then when I am acting, I do it as a dedicated action to the Lord. So we say, result is a prasad given by the Lord. There are two things that make karma yoga, karma yoga. Or convert karma into yoga. What is it? When you do an action, there are mainly two things involved. One is action, other one is actor. Isn't it? Action and the actor. So what becomes karma yoga depends on the attitude of the actor. Action remaining the same, if the attitude is selfish, demanding, expectations, then it is karma. If expectations are not there, if surrender is there, if acceptance is there, it becomes karma yoga. Action can be the same. So what makes karma into karma yoga is the attitude of the individual who does the action. So when I understand I am doing an action and the result is given as per the law of karma, I don't know, there are so many actions are done. A lot of people ask, sir, why is it that I had that person to come and examine my paper who had a fight with his wife? Somebody else might not have written as good as you did, but they had somebody who was very lenient and did. Now, who decides all these things? We say the whole thing is decided by so many actions which we don't even remember now. So results come as per the actions done by us. And collectively it's given, and you personify that, you know, when law is upheld, there must be some king or somebody who is responsible behind the law being upheld. So in this world also, when we observe and see that the whole universe is governed by various laws, L-A-W-S, then we understand, we conceive God who controls them. And that person is called as Ishvara in Sanskrit. Lord, Ishvara means Lord. You can conceive the Ishvara and understand it that way, as a form, Ishvara with a form, or you can say Brahman, totality, whatever words you want to use. That really doesn't matter. What he is trying to say is, if you see, the totality is giving the result. Ishvara is giving the result. So, a karma yogi is one who has Ishvara prasada bhava. Two bhavas, very important bhavas he has. One is Ishvara arpana bhava. Action is done as arpan, not with expectation. Action is done with giving attitude, not with taking attitude. He says, let your attachment not be to inaction. Attachment to inaction is practiced by whom? Attachment to inaction is practiced by somebody who is all the time focused only on enjoyment. They do not want to waste even little time doing anything because they believe by doing that they will miss the enjoyment. So they want to constantly enjoy but not act.
No, but like in this, when we say what you get is what action you've done.
Yeah.
So something.
There are people who want to sit and eat.
No,
father has worked.
Mm.
So you say, okay, let my father pay for my discotheque bill, this bill, that bill. Who's paying? You have a credit card which your father has given him. So you are using them all the time, enjoying inaction. But what you don't understand is that inaction also will have its own consequence. So he says, inactive people are those who are takers. And there are other category of active people who are acting but remaining a taker. There are two types of takers. Active takers, inactive takers. Inactive takers are tamasic. Active takers are rajasic. And that he covers in the middle. See this, next two lines if you see. First he said, karmani eva adhikaraha mahapaleshu kadachana. Your right is in action only, never to the fruits. And then he said, let not the fruit of action be your motive. That is the active takers category. They act, they are all the time acting, keeping result in mind. I must get there, I must get there. They lack clarity. Remember I spoke about, they lack clarity. They believe enjoyment is in that result. For them, enjoyment is in that fruit. Whatever that might be, fruits can vary from person to person. But they believe the enjoyment is in the fruit. So they believe enjoyment is in taking, expecting. And to take, there is a methodology for them, that is action. That's why he said, let not the fruit of action be your motive. So these people are active takers category. Are you with me? The third line, which is, let not your attachment be to inaction. That is inactive taking category. So what Bhagavad Gita is talking about is, be an active giver category. From the time you are born, you have been constantly receiving. Even now, you receive oxygen. You are not taking any oxygen. So many things like that. Gravitational force. The laws are making us live. So we should be part of that law and not stand apart from it. The second and third category are people who stand apart from the law. You should become part of the law, be a spoke in the wheel of life and do what is expected of you. When I say expected, not by somebody else. What is to be done by you as per the role you play in life. If you are a housewife, homemaker, just do that. If you are an employer, what is the role of the employer? If you are an employee, what is the role of an employee? A student, teacher, whatever it might be. What is to be done, do that. Karmani eva adhikara. And do it without any expectation. And that will come when you have developed the buddhi. Because he has already said, karma yoga is only possible to be done by people who have buddhi. If your buddhi is not yet matured, you will be running after things. So therefore, with buddhi, when you see, oh my God, I have been constantly taking, taking, taking. And his life is to give. I must now, what I can give? What can I really give, strictly speaking? I can only give what the nature has given me. If the nature has given me singing talent in me, if the nature has given me talking talent, dancing talent, whatever it might be, and that I give it to the society without expecting anything. And when I give, for every action there will be a reaction. So jo bhi reaction aayenge, I accept that. That will be my salary. So therefore, there are two things involved here. That is, arpita bhava and prasada bhava. When I do the action, I do it with arpana bhava. When the result comes, I accept it with prasada bhava. Whatever it might be. When I say whatever it might be, what it means is in my mind, while acting, whether it is failure or success, I have digested both. Doesn't really matter. Therefore, while acting, result is not there in my mind. So I am doing the action as a winner. I am not doing the action to win. A person who does the action to win is actually a loser. Kyunki inka man mein, agar if I don't get this result, kyunki he, for him, winning is very important. Not doing. Is that clear? So in Kamande, oh, I must win, I must win, I must win, I must win, I must win. I am obsessed. If I am obsessed, what it tells is, deep inside there is fear within me that maybe I may not win. I may lose. So subconscious mein, jab mein action I am doing action at the physical level, subconsciously there is this fear of losing, fear of failing. That fear of failing comes true. As you have bhavana, so the result is. Yad bhavam tad bhavati. As you think, so you become. So when you follow this Krishna's advice, you become a commanding person. What? Because you inside you have no fear whatsoever. Whether it is success or failure, you digest it. So where is the fear? Whether they accept me or they don't accept, they are both, no problem. Once you have got that, then you are functioning freely. Others are not functioning freely. Their hands are tied, their minds are tied, they are preoccupied with the result. You know, Swami Ramtirtha gives a beautiful story, I am reminded of that in this context. He says, once a king did not have a heir apparent, you know. He had only a daughter, he did not have a son. And in that country only men could rule, some strange rule, whatever it is. And he had to find a good son-in-law, because that son-in-law will become the king, and that king should be able king. He can't just get his daughter married to anybody. So he decided, let me conduct a running race. And he said, people of this age group in our country, unmarried men, can participate in this running race. It will be held on such and such date, and anybody with this age group, unmarried, can participate. And what he did, he had stacked some 10 kilometer race or something like that. He had stacked gold bricks all along the path. Gold bricks, each weighing, I don't know, how many kilos would be a gold brick? 2 kilos? Maybe 5 kilos, let us say. Like that, thousands of gold bricks were stacked on the way. And when the running race was about to start, because he said, whoever comes first will marry my daughter and become the next king. So lots of people came. And last minute before the race was to start, he said this. That is, those who participate, who comes first, no doubt will marry my daughter. But along the way I have stacked gold bricks, as you can see. Those who participate in this running race can also carry them with them. How many ever bricks they have collected, whether they come first or not, those many gold bricks will remain with them. It will be their asset. This he said last minute. So all these guys, many of them, they picked as many bricks as they can. The more load they were collecting, the slower they were running. And few of them died also. In fact, not few, many died, because they were trying to collect as much as possible. Greed, you know. They were loading themselves with few hundreds of kilos of gold, and then they could not run, they died. One smart fellow, he said, I am not going to get involved in this. He never picked even one single gold brick. He just ran the race. Absolutely focused. He came first. He got married to the princess. He became the king. When he became the king,
all the gold
belonged to him only. You understand? He got the girl and gold both. This is what we need to understand. And this is what Krishna is promising. Oh, karmaniya adhikaraste. What is this? It's very, very impractical. Are? He is giving you practical method to become the king.
So when you tell it in stories, it makes so much more sense.
Digest it. Think about it. Digest it. You must digest and practice. Just hearing will probably be nice to you, but it will not do much of difference to you. By digesting, the awareness will come. Like I told you, intellect will become mature. Today the intellect is being constantly put into, it's like, you know, like they say, In India, we have this reservation concept, right? Why do they have reservation concept? Why do they have the reservation concept?
To uplift those who haven't had a chance.
Exactly. To have a level play. You know, they have been suffering all these years for whatever reasons, some nonsense things has happened. They were not given a level playing field. So now, we want to give them a level playing field. Bring them to that level and then play. Right? So that, you have not given to your intellect. Your intellect is constantly engaged in petty things. How to make my bank balance 1 rupee more? So intellect is used. Isn't it? In choosing a partner. In choosing all small things. Whether I do potato today or cauliflower today. You know, intellect is used in small little things like this. So it is loose, it doesn't have that grandeur. But it can have that grandeur. So when you give it exposure, how do you do that? Not just listening. Shravana is only first aspect. Uske baad, digest it by reflecting. Manan karo, manan karo. Then you do manan, then what are you doing? A person who has been pushed to corner for many, many years will certainly suffer from inferiority complex. You understand? By giving him a level playing field also, he might not have gone out of that complex. But having come, when he gets educated rightly, then when deeply he understands things, then slowly the complex goes. Only then he is actually come forward. Otherwise he is not come forward. By our stupidity, by, you know, frustrating them, by pushing them to that sort of a thing and not giving them education and all that. What have you done? You've created people with inferiority complex. Even if you know, the other day there was a debate in the television. Even the IIT graduate, people come to IIT out of quota. There also there is this, you know, amongst the IIT students who have come on merit, others who have come on reservation, there's peer pressure. So complex bad jayega, right? And that complex is one thing to say, oh, these guys should not put pressure on them, they should accept them, and all that is the other thing. Simple is, this guy should study, reflect, along with what knowledge IIT gives, if he studies Gita, or Bible, or Quran, whatever it might be, and digest it, not just read it or just carry it. You understand? If he digests it, he'll come out of the complex. That is the thing. And once he comes out of the complex, then he has become one with the society. Then you see, he also has that potential. You understand? So how to implement it? Manan karo. Think about this. Then the intellect will mature. And now if your intellect is engaged in petty things, consciously look into it. Don't be unconsciously dragged by your desires into any action. Anything you do it consciously. Then you will see, oh, okay, this is not, actually happiness is not here. Inquire karo. We don't have time. Just before somebody collects 3 bricks, let me collect 10 more. Because if everybody collects, then what I'll be left with to choose is very little. So I'm not employing my thinking, I'm just running. I'm participating in the running race. But what am I doing? I'm seeing others are collecting bricks. Hey, Papa, he's already collected 10, I've not collected even 1. How can that be possible? So I'm also collecting. Other fellow was so conscious. He said, forget all this nonsense. Yes. Just ran. He came first, got married to that girl, he became the king permanently. All the golds that these fellows collected, where are they going to keep it in? They're going to keep it in the bank locker. Isn't it? Who does the bank belong to? The king. They are collecting things. But it is ultimately, this is what he is saying in 46 and 47. One is short-sighted, other one is far-sighted. Gita will never take you out of life. Gita instills life into you. This is amazing. You know, when you read these verses, you say, my God. And it is there in our culture, and we don't know what it is. So, karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana. Ma karma phalahe turboho ma te sangostva karmani. A very famous off-quoted verse. A lot of people have got it by-hearted, memorized. And like I said, you need not put in effort. If you continue chanting every day few verses, automatically the verses will get memorized. And that means nothing. It's internalizing that matters. But it, you know, when you memorize these things, you, even if you're not with the book, you can sit with the verse and think about it.
Yeah, it makes you free.
Yeah. So he walks freely. That's what I'm coming to. A person who's carrying gold bricks on his shoulders is running with weight, baggage, burden. The other fellow is walking freely. Walking freely, fellow, wins the race. So, Krishna in verse 47, the Lord is teaching us the way to function as a winner. Krishna is telling us to be a winner, not run after winning. When you do an action without success or failure in mind, when you have conquered success and failure mentally, then what happens to you? You are a winner. Because as per your Shraddha, the result will be. But if you are running, but deep inside, there is some sort of doubt. Maybe I may not win, then you will lose. You be a loser. Now you may say, sir, how is it then still some people are successful? Because everybody who is participating in the running race is picking burdens. Those who pick less wins the race. Who worries the least wins the race. But one thing you need to understand, even though he won the race, he is still not enjoying the race. He is not enjoying the gift that has come from the race, because he is worried about losing it in the next running race. He may not still be number one. Having reached a status, bigger worry is retaining the status quo. If I have got a BMW 7 series, 750, the worry is next car. I can't be all the time be seen in BMW 750. So now mentally I get into worry. Next I should get Bentley, should get this, Rolls Royce. Huh? Specifically ordered to me. So that nobody, you know, this madness has no limit. The madness absolutely has no limit. These are all people who lack clarity. Hence they are all involved in karma. People who have clarity, they do karma yoga. Therefore he calls karma yoga buddhi yoga. In other words, those who have buddhi, they will engage karma into yoga for the sake of yoga, union with the self. Those who lack clarity, they will not engage karma for the sake of union with the self. They will engage karma for the sake of attaining the immediate result. They will not attain it. By chance they attain it, they will be terribly agitated. Because I should not lose it. We'll conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.